Christ is risen. Risen indeed. Welcome to Chapel on this Monday, the first Monday after Easter, and also the last Monday of the 2013-14 academic year. Hard to believe. I know it's here. Come on up, Derek. Hey, we have the privilege throughout this semester throughout the year to hear from different faculty and staff members. We had the opportunity to hear that again today with Derek Emerson. Derek is the Director of Events and Conference Services at Hope College. Did I get it right?
Yeah,
all right. Hey, it's an important position. It is. Derek has been here for over 20 years. I'm not going to waste any more of his time. Pray with us. Lord, thank you that you call us to be a part of your kingdom purposes in different parts of this world. Thank you for calling Derek to Hope College to live out your kingdom purposes here. Now be with him as he speaks. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Derek Emerson?
Good morning. It's Monday morning. You just had a three-day weekend. Some of you had a few too many Easter eggs yesterday. That guy over there has got a chocolate bunny hangover. I can see it. He's like, I thought it was a hollow bunny and it was solid. I didn't know, man. It was too much. Okay? So you've got all this time. You're thinking about everything that's going on. And guess what I want to talk about today? Theology. Sorry. We're going to get deep a little bit this morning. You're going to suffer for all that I suffered for when I was a student at Hope so many years ago. I read a lot of philosophy and theology. And being a good Reformed school, they took me through the progression. So I read my Plato and my Augustine and my John Calvin and my Karl Barth. I'm also Catholic, so they made sure I had my Aristotle and my Aquinas and my Karl Rahner. But today, I want to introduce you to the most influential theologian in my life. Well, most theologians don't get an awe when they go up there, but yeah, he does. This is my youngest son. This is Oliver, and this is Oliver when he's about 3 years old. And it's at this point in his life, at that young age, that he was already beginning to influence how I think about God, and that's what I want to share with you today. See, when Oliver started talking, he would be playing with his little Tyke's Kitchen or his Duplos, and he would stop playing, he'd stand up and he'd say, happy, and then he'd go back to playing again. I was like, well, that's weird. I mean, he's my youngest of four children. My other three never did this, okay? We'd be taking a walk in the neighborhood garden and Oliver would just shout out, happy, and then he'd keep right on walking. Now this amazed me because I'm really good at complaining. I don't know about all of you, but I'm pretty good at letting people know when I'm not happy. But I realized, listening to my son, that I wasn't very good at saying when I am happy. And most of us don't do that. We don't just stop and acknowledge, hey, life's pretty good right now. So I was struck by Oliver's ability to recognize happiness, and really what he was recognizing was joy. And he didn't express it this way, but that's really what he was looking at, was the joy in life. Now, don't get me wrong, happiness and joy are two different things. Some of you have survived my English 113 class over the past few years, and we've read a novel called The Sorrow of War. And it's written by a North Vietnamese soldier who served against the Americans during the war and in many wars after. And we talk about that title, The Sorrow of War. It's not called War's a Bummer. It's not that, hey, I went to war and I'm kind of sad. It's the sorrow of war. Sorrow permeates who this soldier is afterwards. Some of you know this. Some of you have had someone close to you that you've lost, or you've had an event that robs you of something special. You're not sad, you're sorrowful. Now, joy works in the same way, but in a very different direction. Happiness is something you experience, but it might be momentary or short-lived. Joy permeates the soul. It's a way of living. You can get an A on that tough exam next week, you're going to be pretty happy. But you meet the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with and they change your life, that's joy. It permeates who you are. Oliver said happy. He was living joy. At just 3 years old, he was doing something I was unable to do. I could not simply stop and recognize the joy in living. And not only recognize that joy, but appreciate it. Oliver was learning his Bible stories. He knew the source of that joy. I was a longtime believer in Christ, and I still had not learned to appreciate true joy. I focused on happy occasions. I missed out on the joy. Let me jump ahead a year. You can still do your awes if you like. It's okay. It's pretty cute. Some of you who are familiar with cancer recognize some telltale signs here. The loss of hair, the puffy face, and the great big happy smile. Maybe you don't associate a great big happy smile with cancer, but that's the way Oliver handled things. See, at age 4, Oliver was going through his first round of chemotherapy, and this is how he looked after that very first round. When he was 4, he was diagnosed with neuroblastoma cancer. It was stage 4. Neuroblastoma cancer hits children hard. It's deadly. Stage 4 meant it had spread, and he was given a 50% chance of survival. Now, many 4-year-olds don't understand what's happening to them, but Oliver did. He's a very intelligent little boy, and he quickly grasped he could die. He did not want to die, but he was not about to let cancer change how he lived his life, and he lived his life joyfully. Now, it's common for parents to brag about their children. I've been known to do that about all my children at some point, but I can tell you that Oliver's approach to his cancer was simply unexpected. And I never hesitated to tell his older 3 siblings, there is no way you would handle this the way Oliver's handling it. I mean, I wouldn't handle it. I went in for a root canal last week. It was like major surgery, okay? Oliver, no problem. He would comfort the medical staff that was working with him. When they apologized for poking him too many times because they couldn't find the vein, he'd say, that's okay, I know you're trying to help me. And he simply accepted the need for more chemotherapy that wasn't expected. I remember this doctor saying, you know, we need to start another round. We weren't planning on this. When should we start? And Oliver looked up and just said, let's do it. And we did it. That was his approach to it. When he had to go in for a biopsy and it wasn't successful because they didn't get the live cancer cells they need, they told Oliver, we're going to have to go back and do it again. And he told the doctor, that's okay. I know you tried your best the first time. Okay. He was reaching out to these others, and he wasn't getting depressed about the fact that he was going to go through this again. He simply accepted it, and he did it in a positive way. Now, when he would finish a round of chemotherapy, he'd go out to the nurse's station, and he would do his happy dance because he was so happy to be done. But actually, he did his happy dance on the way into chemotherapy. He'd do his happy dance whenever he felt like it. If you've ever read a great novel called Zorba the Greek or seen the movie, you get an idea of what Oliver did with his dance. Zorba is a wonderful character. He's an earthy guy. And Zorba dances when he's happy. He dances when he's sad. He dances when he has a bit too much to drink. He dances to express his emotions. That's what Oliver did. When he was happy, he danced. Everybody knew it. He just couldn't keep that joy all bottled up. He had to let it go. Let's jump ahead one more. Now, that's a pretty happy little boy. That's Oliver at age 6, and he's dancing in the splash zone on 8th Street. Many of you have probably danced just like that over there. But what you're really seeing in this picture is joy personified. That little boy up there has been through many rounds of chemotherapy, has had hundreds of shots. He had so many blisters in his mouth during the bone marrow transplant, he couldn't talk for several days, and yet he'll go up and he'll dance like that. What I'd like to do right now is show you a picture of Oliver at age 7, but I can't. You see, in just over 2 weeks, we come to the first anniversary of Oliver's death. Despite working with the best doctors in the world, they couldn't save him. We lost our 6-year-old theologian. So I understand too well the difference between sadness and sorrow. Sorrow is part of my heart. It's part of who I am. But here's where I turn to Oliver's study of God. His theology was not of the mind, but of the heart. And of course, what better theology is there? Oliver understood God as the source of his life and the source of his joy. And he wouldn't let cancer destroy it. He told an interviewer at one point, in the end, the cancer never wins. And he was so right. Let's go up to the next one. This is a verse I keep nearby me. And it was on Oliver's prayer card. Oliver lived this verse and he went beyond it. We said our prayers every day. He was patient in affliction, and he was joyful in hope. But more than that, he was joyful in the now. This is not a smile and ignore your troubles kind of talk. Like Oliver, he showed us the power of joy, and I want you to have that power of joy too. It's a gift of the Spirit which allows you to approach the evil of the world in an embrace of joy. It's not easy. I fail all the time. How my little boy did this in the midst of all his suffering, I'll never know. But God was present in that child, and the joy just shone out. So I want you to take a lesson from my little theologian today and ask yourself, do I seek joy in life? Or more importantly, can I accept joy where it can be found? It takes very little effort to look around and see pain and misery in the world. And as Christians, we are called to seek out that sadness and offer God's love. But can you embrace all that is wrong in a joyful embrace? I can stand up and complain, but can I stand up and say happy? We're in the glow of the Easter proclamation, but some people are living like it's Good Friday. In that context, can you reach out and embrace them with the joy of God? Oliver lived a very short but full life. He went through more pain than I hope any of you ever go through. And he did it with joy. And he attracted people to him because of the joy he shared. You can do the same. I'm going to leave you with one last quote from Blessed Mother Teresa. Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. So today, catch your soul first. Dare to be joyful in what can be a cruel world. Show God's joy. Cast a net of love. I know Oliver is going to help you cast that net. Thank you for spending time with me this morning. God's peace go with you.